Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you and thank you for joining in on our Bible study today to study the ABCs of God's Word and find out what God's Word says concerning things and the truths of what God says and what we should believe and what we should not believe. I hope that you've been going over your lessons and that you've been studying the scriptures that we get, because it's the Word of God that makes the difference. It's God's Word. It's truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's what the Bible says, and that's what we should believe. The very most important thing in a Christian's life should be that Bible, God's Word. That's all we have from Him, other than not to make light of God the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, but God's Word is what does all the inspiring in our lives and gives us the truth, and we can study and have it. God the Holy Ghost teaches us what the Word of God is and what it says and what it means, and gives us a sense of it. And they all work together. The Trinity works all together in our lives and doesn't leave us remote anyway. Doesn't leave us abandoned, or I was trying to think of another word, but leave us abandoned. The Lord's faithful to us. And if we'll just make the effort and like you're doing right now, and just sit down and try to listen to the Word of God and try to study it and look into the Scriptures and study the Scriptures, God the Holy Ghost will bring that stuff back to your memory, and He'll teach you and He'll saturate you with it, and it'll become part of you. And that's what we want, being conformed into the image of Christ, God's Son, our Savior. We've been talking about witnessing, and study number 23, the letter W in our ABCs of Christian Growth. I just added another letter of a study that I had been working on, and it's included in the letter M. And don't be surprised when we change and go into another study. I've mentioned this to you before, but when we go in, this is a never-ending study as far as just continually growing. I'm always working on this and trying to find truths to study and to put to audio and to put on paper, so that we can just have a variety of God's Word to study. And the one I just put back in there is a letter M, and it's entitled Man, the Measure of All Things. And it's a study about man and what God's Word says about man and what he is and how important he is and what God thinks of him and what he thinks of himself and just all sorts of things. I think you'll find that interesting. If you want it on paper and you want any of these studies on paper, you're welcome to them, or on audio, or on these little computer. I can send it to you on a computer, just however you want it. We can do it. And not to say that I'm anybody, because I don't say that I'm anybody, but I'm a son of God just like you are, and a saint, and willing to study the Word of God and want to. That's the thing. We need to want to. I love the Lord, don't you? I love Him, and I don't want to be away from Him. I don't want to be away from Him. I get real nervous in my skin when I think I'm starting to be separated from the Lord. Don't you? That's why we study God's Word, so we can be closer to Him. Witnessing. Let's just recap just a little bit. We talked about what does witnessing mean, and we talked about, are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? And we went through that. And why should you be a witness and a soul winner? Why? And we went over several truths concerning that, because the Bible commands us to, and it's a duty. It really is. It's a duty for us. I mean, when the Bible teaches us what this world's going to, what the end result of everything is going to be, and what everything's worth, Ecclesiastes tells us, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And it says, man at his very best is altogether lighter than vanity. And it says that this world's going to pass away. And the Lord told us not to store up treasure here, but to store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. And the main thing that we're supposed to be looking for, and that's on our mind, and that we live day by day, is waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting on the catching away. We're waiting on the rapture. We're waiting on the Lord to come get us out of here. And it's going to be a good day. And then we'll go and be with the Lord, and when he comes back next time, he's going to clean this place up. No matter who likes it, or no matter who don't like it. He's going to clean it up, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we're going to rule and reign with him. And it's going to be a good day. We got everything to look forward to, brothers and sisters. All we got to do is just buckle down. You either going to be on the devil's side, even if you're a Christian, you either going to be on the devil's side, or you're going to be on God's side, and you're going to fight on either one of them sides. You're going to fight. The fighting ain't going to stop. Everybody's looking for greener pastures. And there ain't no green pastures down here right now. There ain't none. You're either going to fight on God's side or you're going to fight on the devil's side. One or the other. And don't you tell me that Christians don't fight on the devil's side. There's all kind of Christians that are on the devil's side. But not me. And don't let that be you. Let's be faithful to the Lord. We owe him. And the Lord has not sent us a bill for anything, has he? As a matter of fact, he looks out for us and gives us our food, gives us our clothing, gives us our house, a place to live, a roof over our head, a bed to sleep in, a place to clean ourselves and to refresh ourselves, gives us food, gives us something to do down here for him. And the Bible says that God is not ashamed to be our God. Now, you think about an almighty God that's a creator that makes all the beautiful things that's in, in a fallen state right now, but yet how beautiful they are. And you can imagine what they were when the Lord very first made them, like flowers and butterflies and just all the beautiful things that God's creation, God's Word made. And you see, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You can look up and see in that sky and see God's handiwork. See a piece of God's personality. See a piece of God's talent. See, you can see the Lord. And you can know him. And why wouldn't we want to? We're going to be with him. We got the promise. We got it in writing right here in front of us. And we're waiting on the Lord to come back. So what do we do? Well, our business is to be waiting on the Lord and to be doing his will. Whatever he has measured you with and give you a measure of as far as faith and what he's given you to do, you to be busy about doing it. And doing it for him. And doing it because you love him and because you want to, not because you have to. The Lord said he's not ashamed to be our God. Now think about that just a minute. He's not ashamed to be our God. He should be ashamed to be our God, shouldn't he? With the behavior that we behave and the way that man's state is, the fallen state and how man rebels against him, God does everything in the world for a person. They turn around and spit in his face and hold their fists up at him. And all he has to do is just speak the word and say, be gone, and poof, you're gone. But he don't do that. He's compassionate, he's long-suffering, he's forbearing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's very patient, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And that's the only thing that's holding us back from being with the Lord Jesus Christ now. Right now is for all the Gentiles to come in, for all the Gentiles that are going to get saved, the ones that the Lord's trying to get saved and waiting on them and waiting on them. And if there's any chance at all that their heart will turn to him, he'll wait and make all of creation wait. He did for me. Boy, if that rapture had hit 5 minutes before I got saved, I'd have been a mess. So would you. But the Lord didn't do that. He waited on us. And he's waiting on everybody else. Now, that brings us into this witnessing, doesn't it? Witnessing is a duty. It's a debt. We do owe the Lord. Paul said, I am debtor. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. There's a guy outside cutting grass. If you hear something go by, don't worry about it. It's a responsibility. It's a calling. And there is a need. In the book of Psalms, the writer was complaining, saying, I just can't understand how come the wicked get away with everything and why they get to do everything, why they got all the good stuff and the Mercedes and the mansions and all that kind of stuff, and all the Christians got to suffer. I don't understand all that. And he went through all the things that he was wondering and everything and wanting to ask God about and get an answer from him, and then he finally stopped and thought. He said, but then I remembered their end. Then I remembered their end. And if we stop and we go through all of this having to do with witnessing, it's a command, it's a duty, it's a debt, it's responsibility, it's a calling. There is a need and there's a reckoning. Everybody's gonna give account. And it's caring and it's joy. It brings joy. We go through all these things right here. Plus fighting the devil. And the devil's going to fight you about witnessing. You know that already. But plus fighting him. And then we stop and think. And the very sentence that'll always motivate us and give us the truth and set us back where we need to be thinking is, then I remembered their end. Every person that you follow that's got open eyeballs, that's seeing out of them eyeballs and moving and breathing, there's a soul back behind them eyes. And it's going somewhere. It's going to end up somewhere. Not it. They are. The soul is the very being of a person. That is what the being of a human being is the soul. The soul. The body is the outer shell of it. And it's going back to the grave, and the Lord's going to give us a new one. And the spirit is encompassed by the soul. The spirit, your spirit's in your soul. And when God saves you, God the Holy Ghost moves in and quickens your spirit and makes your spirit alive unto the things of God again. And he moves in and you're sealed with him. But it's your soul that the Bible's talking about is either everlasting darkness and eternal and hellfire, or it's going to be heaven and everlasting life and being with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. We're going to get another body. But if you look in the scriptures, the Bible said that there were souls that were up under the throne of God. And they, and during the tribulation, they were saying, when are you going to pay these people back for what they did to us? And these were people that lost their head, Christians that were serving the Lord and lost their head for the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. And the Lord told them, give them some white, he put robes on them, give all them souls robes, so a soul can wear robes. And they give them all white robes and told them just to be patient and wait, because all the brethren down there still had to die. They were going to get their heads chopped off too and had to wait on that, the Lord said, and let them get up here with us. So see, even the Lord has people that he knows that are going to lose their head for him. They did, the apostles did, see. But witnessing, then I remembered their end. We got to think about truth when we're and what's really going on as far as mankind when we're thinking about witnessing. You can't have a mind that's fashioned like this world and be a proper witness for the Lord. This world does not care about eternal things and spiritual things. It cares about itself and selfishness and what it can get from somebody else. We're not to be thinking about like this world. We're to be thinking spiritual things. We're to be walking in the Spirit. So we talked about that. We talked about the reckoning and the caring. I think that was the last thing that we stopped at on the last recording. So today we're going to begin on something, another category here as far as witnessing. Is witnessing the duty of every Christian? Is it? I mean, is it the duty of every Christian? I mean, is every Christian responsible for witnessing? Well, what do you think? I mean, just don't think about nobody else. Is witnessing the duty of is witnessing your duty? Is it everybody's responsibility, or just the pastors, or just the teachers, or whose responsibility is it? Well, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 107 and verse 2, listen to this. Let the redeemed, are you redeemed? Yes, you are. If you're saved, you are. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Have you been saved from the enemy's hand? Yes, you have. The Lord says in Psalm chapter 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not because they have to, but because they want to. You see, if you've gotten any favor from the Lord and been saved any amount of time, even when you were very first saved, you felt a debt to the Lord because of what he had done when God the Holy Ghost moved in you. You felt indebted to him, didn't you? I did, and I still do. I know even when I'm misbehaving that I owe the Lord and I ought to do better. I know that, and I want to. And one day we're going to be able to be completely clean before the Lord and walk and be holy like him. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus and have the mind of Christ. But right now we got to fight this flesh and fight this world and fight the enemy. But it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, is witnessing the duty of every Christian. Yes, it is. Now, I've not ever had the Lord, the Lord's never cornered me and said, you've been witnessing this week? He ain't never done that to me. And I don't reckon he's ever done it to you. But the more I read God's Word, and the more I find out about what the Lord says in his Word, and the more I become like the Lord, like you do, for living for him and being about his business, the more I think about others and think about what's going to happen to them. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, this is the early church in Acts right there. And just seeing how they reacted to this new gospel of the grace of God. And this is where the gospel was transitioning from grace and works to John the Baptist's baptism. And we'll get into some of that maybe later on, but it gradually in the book of Acts, salvation transitioned from the law over to the gospel of the grace of God, which was after Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the payment, everything changed. It became grace by faith and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ's name, and you could be saved for eternity. There was no works involved in it, and still is not. There will be during the tribulation, and there will be during the millennium. The Lord will be there personally during the millennium. But your works are going to mean something during the tribulation, and not yours, but whoever's there. But we'll get into all that some other time. But as far as being saved, you're saved for free. Didn't cost you a dime. And the Lord's not going to send you a bill. He done it by grace. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you do that? Then God done his part. And you're born again, and you can't get out of it and don't know a reason why you'd want to. But you can't get out of it if you wanted to. You're going to heaven whether you like it or not. The Lord said so. Now that's the kind of salvation that's going on right now. No matter what all the other people say, they don't use God's Word to prove it. God's Word says what we're talking about, okay? Now, in the early church there, they began witnessing when they started finding out what the apostles had to say about what Jesus told them to say and to write down and to preach. And they started finding out that after Jesus' resurrection, that things were different now, that salvation was different now, and not only the Jews got to be saved, but also the Gentiles were in it. And they could be saved. And now anybody in the world could be saved because of what Jesus did. Well, the first thing they started doing was going everywhere, telling everybody. Some people have it in their minds that witnessing and soul winning are just the duty of the pastor and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and those that maybe have the gift of gab. But that's not so. And a lot of churches are like that now in this period and this dispensation that we're in right now. A lot of churches are like that. Won't nobody in the church go soul winning, but they expect the pastor to, and they expect the deacon to, and they expect the teachers to. And they should. If you want to be a teacher and teach the Word of God, soul winning ought to be something that's in your heart. But as far as going soul winning and doing it, how do I want to put this? Doing it doing it in a systematic way, like you meet every night. Like when I learned how to soul win, Brother Whitfield, Dr. Whitfield, is the one that taught me how to soul win. And the way that he taught me was he said, "You meet me at church at Thursday at such and such time, and we'll go soul win." And that's where it started. And we'd done that for years and years and years. And what we would do is just take a handful of tracts and go knock on doors. We live in a college town. And we had all kinds of doors to knock on. And we go knock on doors and just talk to people about going to heaven and accepting Jesus. And had lots of people accept Jesus. There's people out there that want to get saved. But we did it in that kind of way. But when the Bible's talking about being a witness for the Lord, it's talking about from your heart. Witnessing starts from the heart. Testifying for the word, testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is in the heart. I mean, you hear people walking around all the time talking about, "Man, my football team's playing this weekend. My football team's playing this weekend. My football team's playing this weekend. Hey, do you know they're playing this weekend? Hey, my football team's playing this weekend." Walking around telling everybody at work, everybody at church, everybody here, everybody there, telling the family, make sure the TV's working, make sure this, I mean, because of a football team. And they're witnessing, because they want everybody to know, my team playing. Now, that's just a football game. Don't tell me that people can't talk to other people about what's important to them. Yes, you can. And we do. We talk to people about things that are important to us. If you care about somebody dying and going to hell, or you care about somebody's soul, you'll talk to them, and you should. But as far as giving an account and having a piece of paper on the wall, and you coming in every night and somebody putting a check by your name because you witnessed to somebody, that's not the kind of, you can't legislate witnessing. You can't put it like that. You can't do it like, you can do it systematically, but you can't do it like the law, like you're accountable. Though I believe that we're going to stand before the Lord, and I believe that there's people, I know in my heart already, the Lord doesn't even have to tell me, I tell myself. I know that there's people that I have been face to face with that I wanted to say something to, but I chickened out. And I know I'm going to have to talk to the Lord about that. And I don't even know why I chickened out. Because I do love the Lord. And I do want to tell them. And I do want them to be saved. But, I mean, you got the enemy standing there talking over your shoulder, telling you all the reasons in the world. And that's not an excuse, because you're going to have to fight him all the time anyway. But we just, it's just the way it is. You can't legislate it. You can't say, "All right, did you witness today? Check the paper. Check Thursday. You didn't witness Friday? Shame on you." No, no, no. That ain't what it's about, folks. Witnessing in an ABC kind of way, scripturally, is from the heart and caring about souls. That's what it's about. And if you don't have that kind of motivation, you don't have that kind of love for Christ for what he's done for you, you're not going to witness properly. Because the whole purpose of witnessing is to be able to say to somebody, I mean, you can show them what the Scripture says, which is what's going to get them saved, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. But one thing that you always have in your arsenal is to be able to say, he done it for me. Nobody can argue with that. He done it for me. You know how come I know the Lord saved dope head, drug addict, drunkards, and people that are miserable and suicidal and everything else? Because he done it for me. I know God is real. You know how? Because he done it for me. Now that's what witnessing, the foundation of witnessing is. The Lord Jesus Christ done it for me. And then we step up from there. If you want to systematically go soul winning, I recommend it because you'll never regret a moment of it. And plus, you'll be faithful to it. You'll have joy out of it. Everything good will come out of it. I never got beat up I never got beat up. I tell you about some of them soul winning things. There's people said they see. There was one time we was out and they said we was in some color folk neighborhood, and that's who we witnessed to most of the time anyway. And we was in there, and we went up to this old woman, and we were sitting there, and there was a gang standing at the entrance of this neighborhood when we drove in. It was two white guys, you know, and we were walking down through there, and that gang said that one of the guys in that gang was the grandson of that woman we was talking to. She come over, and he come over to find out what we was talking about. And he said that while y'all was walking, he come over there, and we was witnessing to her, and we witnessed to him. And he humbled himself, and he said, we was standing over in that gang. He said, well, usually we don't let no white folks come down through here. We will find out what's going on with them. He said, but there was somebody walking with y'all. And me and Brother Tom looked at one another, said, what'd you say? He said, there was somebody walking with y'all. Now, I don't know what that means, but I do know what that means. And there's all kind of stuff in witnessing that you're going to find out. You want to talk about seeing spiritual warfare. You go systematic soul winning and just find you a good partner that'll stay faithful to it like you will and understand, and y'all just take turns knocking on doors and just learn, and God the Holy Spirit will teach you about soul winning and about people and what people really want in this world. That is where you find it all out. But if you don't, that's all right. You know why? Because it starts in your heart. I mean, it's just as good to be a witness to your neighbors. The Lord talks about neighbors all the time. What does your neighborhood think of you? What do they know about you? Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're on your way to heaven? Do they know that they're on their way to hell? I mean, you can be a witness and a soul winner any way, anyhow, any form, and don't have to answer to nobody about it. You are a witness. But if you want to go systematic soul winning, I encourage it. But if you don't feel guilty about it. But in the early church, that's what they began doing because everything was fresh and brand new. And just like our salvation's fresh and brand new when we get born again, the very first thing we want to do is just be talking about the Lord, talking about the Lord, talking about the Lord. And then the world and the devil and the flesh gets to beating and dragging down on you and everything else. And that's just the way it is. But that's not the way it's got to stay. As you grow as a Christian, you become stronger as a Christian. You start finding out things that you thought that are not so, and finding out things that you can stack truth and get all that truth in your life. You'll start getting stronger, and you'll start understanding that you don't have to fight every single thing. I mean, it just comes to you. The Lord teaches us. But being a witness is in the heart. The Bible says, therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. The Bible clearly shows it is for every Christian to be a witness. In Psalm 107, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." All right, now you redeemed, then you ought to be telling people that you redeemed somehow or another, because you're not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it, and I know you're not ashamed of it. You wouldn't be here studying right now if you didn't care about the things of God, would you? No, you wouldn't. You had to discipline yourself and fight somehow, some way, to get to this classroom, this lesson right here, didn't you? Yes, you did. Okay, so you know a little bit about battling, and you know a little bit about fighting, and as far as being a Christian. So you're not ashamed of the Lord. And every chance that you get, and the opportunity that you get, the devil's going to fight it, but if you see it through, you can be some kind of witness, some kind of way, and show light to somebody in this dark world. And a Christian ought to have a testimony to begin with. I mean, if you're known as a hell raiser in your neighborhood and dope smoking and as a drunkard and everything else, you're probably not going to have a testimony that's going to shine a light to the people in your neighborhood. Probably not. But if you're suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus and the testimony of the Lord Jesus and for the Word of God, and I'm talking about suffering like what the Bible talks about suffering, and there is suffering, and you'll understand that when you get to doing it, and if you already are, then you know what I'm talking about. But it's godly suffering. It's scriptural suffering. It's suffering along with the Lord Jesus Christ is what it is. It comes with your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody suffers differently and suffers according to how God's will is for you, so that you can grow and it's so that you can be conformed into the image of Christ. All things work together for good to them that love God, and they do, even when it's suffering. But your neighborhood ought to know that you're a Christian. Maybe by the language that you use or don't use. Maybe by the way you behave around them. Maybe by this, some kind of light ought to show them that you ain't part of this world. That there's something different about you. That's witnessing, you see. Now, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, we read it just a minute ago, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere teaching the word. Therefore, the Bible says they, okay, that was the Christians there, the ones that had been born again, the ones that had all this fresh stuff that was going on after the Lord died, were scattered abroad because there's a lot of persecution going on right then. Paul was involved in that, and a lot of people were getting after the Christians in those days. Scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Seemed like they would have went to hide out. And to get away, and some of them did. When they heard Paul was coming to town, they scattered. Because they knew what he did. But they went preaching the word. Even during the persecution. I don't know, because I haven't lived through it, but they said during the Philadelphia era, which was prior to what we're in right now, the Laodicean era, when the Word of God was precious to everybody, they said that was when the most persecution was going on. And so when Christian persecution starts, the Word of God starts just flourishing everywhere. And I believe it. Now, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we're talking about his witness and the duty of every Christian. I mean, come on. Is it? Yes, it is. It is our duty. It's our duty because we don't have anything to do with this world. I mean, the only thing the world has to do with you is that you use it because you have to eat and because you have to drink and because you have to sleep. You use the world, but you don't abuse the world. You see? And the Lord uses the world to help you. But this is not your home. This is not where you're going to end up. And this is not where everybody else is going to end up. At the very most, people probably got 100 years on this earth when they're born, from the time they're born to the time they die. That little check mark, that little dash in between birth and death is how much time they got on this earth. Some less, some more. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And Saul," which is what Paul's name prior to him, God changing his name, "and Saul was consenting unto his death," talking about Stephen when he was getting stoned. "And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." All the Christians started moving out. Now, remember what the Lord told them? He said that you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, there it is. The Lord knew what he was talking about, and he was prophesying, telling them this is going to happen. Well, all the apostles stayed around Jerusalem, but all the Christians started moving out into Judea, into Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, and it came through Europe and went through everywhere else and got over here to America to you. The gospel of the grace of God. The Pauline gospel that Jesus Christ accomplished at his death, burial, and resurrection. You see? It got to us, and we've been born again, and you're not the same, are you? So you have, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's even your intentions, your goals, what you think about this life, what you think about your body. Now, that's a big thing in the world today with the worldly people, trying to get their body. I mean, imagine spending, that's like going down and digging up a corpse out of the courtyard and buying a tuxedo for it and buying a gold ring for it and a Rolex watch for it and putting shiny shoes on it and everything else. You say, well, that's stupid, Brother TV. It sure is. So is everybody walking around here trying to get fit and get this and get that and listening to all this gobbledygook going on in this world that's wasting so much time on the body and it's dead and going to the dirt? The Lord said for us to be spiritual, and that's what Christians are spiritual people. We're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And spiritual things, part of spiritual things is witnessing. Telling people about spiritual things. Because most people don't even know what a man is or a human being is. That they're trinities just like God. Spirit, soul, and body. Most people don't even know that. They think they're just carrying around that body and they're doing everything they can and trying everything they can so they can stay alive. That's what mankind's doing. That's why they're going to the moon. That's why they're spending so much stinking money on Medicare and Meta this and Meta that and do your doctor blah 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 blah. And all that garbage is to stay alive. And they're forsaking the very one that wants to give them life. Are you getting all this in a whole nutshell? The world ain't got the slightest idea how to stay alive. But we do. We know what the Bible says. How come? Because he did it for me. And he did it for you. So is witnessing a duty of everybody? It sure is. It sure is. You know, in Acts 8:1, did the group of people referred to in verse 4, what we read in verse 4, talking about they were scattered abroad, include the apostles or the pastors? No, it didn't. The apostles and all of them stayed in Jerusalem. It said all the people went everywhere witnessing. So you're talking about it being the duty of the deacons and the duty of the pastor and the duty of this. Yes, they're supposed to have a burden too, but because they're born again and because of the Lord did it for them, not because of their position. A pastor is supposed to preach and teach the Word of God. Teachers are supposed to teach the Word of God. Deacons are supposed to deacon. help the pastor. But as far as witnessing, that's a child of God, a son of God's privilege. You know, one thing I was saying, I said a while ago about the Lord not being ashamed. There's things that you're going to read in the Word of God, and God the Holy Ghost is going to say to you during your walk with Him that's going to stick with you, and you're going to wonder about it and wonder about it and wonder about it. And one thing for me is that the Lord said He wasn't ashamed to be my God. And I keep trying to figure that and figure that and figure that and figure that, and I just it just stays fresh all the time that the Lord's not ashamed to be my God. And just think of all, He's the one that did everything. I'm the one that ought to be ashamed. But if He ain't ashamed to be my God, I'm not going to be ashamed to be His son. You see? Yeah. So is witnessing the duty of every Christian? Yes, it is. Let's move on. How often should you witness? We're talking about witnessing. How often? Well, we talked about that a while ago. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house. Now, when the church first started there, they wasn't meeting in buildings like they do, in church houses like they do, and great big this and great big that. They was meeting in people's houses. And church means the gathering of people together. That's what a church is the gathering of people together. And the Lord said where two or three are gathered together, that makes a church. If you're meeting regular for the Word of God and to hear the Word of God and to encourage one another for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's church. But it's people coming together. It's an assembly. It ain't got nothing to do with a building, mortar and bricks and stuff like that. But it said they were meeting in houses, which they were. That's what they did. They met in houses. And everybody, they still do that. And some, I think the Amish do that. They mostly have church in somebody in the church, one of the church members' house, every time they meet, a different one. Everybody comes to that house. And they meet in the houses. Those people still do that. But the Bible doesn't say. It just says it's an assembly. It's where people assemble, is the church. That come to church is you. You are the church. You're the body of Christ. Not any building. Not any house. And where you meet is whatever. Some, during the persecution, people meeting out in the woods, meeting underground. That's the church, people coming together and assembling. Whenever they were, during the persecution, they wasn't going around looking for all the buildings they could burn down, even though they were burning them down, but they were burning them down to keep the assembly, the church, from coming together. But it was the people that they were burning. They wouldn't burn in the buildings and all that stuff to punish the buildings. The only reason they burned the buildings so people wouldn't have a place to have that place to assemble, because they knew that the church was the assembly. How often should you witness? Well, like I said, there's all kinds of options, and whatever the Lord deals out for you and gives you a measure of, you should do for the Lord. If He wants you to have a soul-winning partner and y'all meet together and y'all go out together and at a certain time and you do it systematically, that's fine. Do it. If you are a parent at home and you have responsibility at home to take care of your home and take care of your children, and then you should be a good witness for the Lord in your neighborhood or wherever you go, down to grocery store, down to drugstore, down to whatever, whenever, however. All you fellas ought to be at your work. The people ought to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, in you and through you, wherever you're at. That's witnessing. And how often? How are you not going to witness for the Lord if you're walking for Him? Because the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going to be a witness whether you open your mouth or not. They're going to see the Lord in you and through you. Yeah. Now, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and what we read just a minute ago, and Acts 20, verse 31, listen to this. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, that's the Apostle Paul talking about the gospel of the grace of God, witnessing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is his testimony about his witness. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn. Now, talking about witnessing, that's a good word for witnessing. Not only are you trying to get people saved, but you're warning them. Ezekiel talks about that, about a watchman. That you're supposed to warn people. Because this lovey-dovey, warm and fuzzy God that the world's got molded into their little warm, fuzzy-wuzzy place is not the God that the Bible talks about. The Bible says the wrath of God abideth on everybody that's not born again on this planet. It doesn't say it's going to. It says it does. They've already been judged. They already have a sentence. They're just going to go before the judgment seat. If they don't get saved, they're going to go before the judgment seat and find out how in-depth or how severe their sentencing is going to be. They've already been sentenced in God's courtroom. The wrath of God abides on them for denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason they're going to court is to find out how deep in hell they're going to be. Look it up. You see, when you start thinking like that, and see, brother and sister, me and you don't have to worry about all that. That don't even have to cross our mind, with exception of others. I'm saved. I don't ever have to come into condemnation with God. Everything is peaceful between me and the Lord because of what He has done. Now, the only thing I got to do is do the things that are pleasing in His sight, my Heavenly Father, because He does carry a father's strap. And He will use it like a loving father does. And He will tear your hind end up. But you'll come out better for it and more holy for it. But I'm glad that He's my Father and He does it because He loves me. And it ain't His judgment as my judge. And I got to worry about going to hell. Because I don't. Me and you don't. But there's some people do, and they're looking how to stay alive. They know their body's going to die. They pass graveyards every day. They try to ignore it, but they can't. But when they look in the mirror, they see that soul back behind them eyes. And they know he's going somewhere, or she's going somewhere. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. How often should we witness? Well, the Bible says that the apostolic New Testament Christians, during when the apostles were, said they testified of Jesus Christ. How often? They did it daily. They did it in every house. And they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Now, there's some places they don't allow you to do that. I've been kicked out of places. There's been police come when I street preach, and I street preach on the corner. There's some police come, told me get out of their town and go to the next town and do it. There's some people that I used to preach in jails, and the chaplain would reprimand me for taking the time, taking too much time for preaching. I mean, you're going to get it if you're going to be honest and you're going to preach the Word of God and you're going to teach the Word of God and be a witness. You're going to get it. I mean, it's just the way it is. The devil's going to fight you. He's not out there looking for somebody that's sitting around keeping quiet and not saying a word about it. If you're going to start talking about the Lord and tell them about what Jesus has done for you, you're going to get it. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And they do. But he said, don't worry about it. Matter of fact, he said, leap for joy. For great is your reward in heaven. Well, this is a crazy kind of, not religion, but this is a crazy kind of faith we got here, ain't it? Leap for joy. Yep, that's right. But the joy is, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The peace that passeth all understanding. And it is, and it's real. And don't you let nobody talk you out of it. Or try to tell you that you're wrong about it, because what has happened to you is real. If you're born again and you know it, and you know that the Lord has done something for you, and you have tasted that the Lord is good, then you keep on believing it. Don't you let nobody take that away from you ever. And especially don't let nobody take that Bible away from you. Don't let nobody ever talk you out of studying and being in your Bible. And God bless you for taking part in these lessons. I know I ain't that hot shot of a make you want to jump and shout and blah, 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 but we'll learn together. ABC stuff. Amen. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We didn't go into a whole lot of detail as far as topics. We talked about is witnessing the duty of every Christian, and we talked about how often should a witness. And I think we got a little clarity on that, don't you? Witnessing can be systematic, and if you can and you got the time and you can make the time, do it. There's nothing more rewarding than that. I've done it, and I love it, and if I had another soul-winning partner, I would do it again. But the way that the world is turning and it's changing, and we are in the last days, yes, we are, excuse me, and things aren't like they used to be. It's not easy to be a systematic witness like it used to be. Me and Brother Whitfield had the police called on us several times, and they come out. We never got in any trouble or got arrested or anything, but we had to leave a few places because some of the devils in that place didn't like it. We've had some, you're talking about spiritual warfare. If you go systematic, do it systematically and just be faithful to that and have a partner, you'll learn and see the true battlefield of the gospel of the grace of God and the enemy that wars against it, okay? But if you can be a witness, if you can do that, fine. If you can't, then don't worry about it. But be a witness. A personal witness, a light, a beacon that is always walking about, shining a light for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. And do it because it's true, and do it because He did it for you, and you know it's real, and you're faithful to it, and you can't help but shine because you're waiting on the Savior. Amen? All right, let me give you these verses. Not many today, but nevertheless, the Word of God. Psalm chapter 107, verse 2. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And then Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And you can see we got a lot of verses in the book of Acts because that is the book where the doctrine of salvation transitions and turns over to the gospel of the grace of God like we have today and that we've had the privilege of being part of because of somebody that witnessed to us and told us about the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, I said that one. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And I might have said that one too. I don't know. But the last one is Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Excuse me. Now, another way that, you know, let me just go ahead and recommend this to you. You know what I think one of the most powerful witnesses that you can do just because? If you know what you need to do in one of these studies, I can't remember which one it is, but when you get to it, there'll be a couple sheets at the end of the lesson that say my testimony, and it's just for you to sit down and think back and write from the time that you didn't know the Lord to the how you were saved, what went on, and just your testimony in your own words, and write it out about how God saved you. And then put a track together about it. Now, if you don't know how to put a track together, I didn't know either, but I found out. And I got a couple different tracks that have my testimony on it and how I got saved. And they're a little different, but they're not exactly the same, but just to have a variety to pass out. And I print them on pieces of paper, black and white, off my computer and cut them up into tracks, and I go pass them out and put my name on them and put my email on them. And if people want to, I've never had anybody call and complain about any of them. You know why? Because it's not telling them about anything except what happened to me. And then I put the gospel of the grace of God, the plan of salvation on it. I've never had anybody complain. Anybody at all. And I know. And I even put a way for them to get a hold of me and tell me they got saved. You could do that. That'd be a good way to witness. Just write your testimony out. And then we'll take and put it in a tract form. And all you have to do is print it off your computer when you need some. Cut them up nice and neat as you can. I do mine in black and white. And then take them out and give them to people. And then they read them and they say, well, if the Lord, some of them say, well, if the Lord, some of them throw them in a trash can, so what? But some of them say, well, if the Lord did it for them, then he surely would do it for me. And then you have the plan of salvation right there. Here's what I heard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then ask them to get saved. That's good witnessing, isn't it? Anything. But your testimony is the most powerful. Yours. You know how you got saved. You say, well, mine's just boring, and there ain't nothing boring about anybody's salvation. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. And they rejoiced over your salvation, too. So you ought to write it down. It ain't got to be no theatrical blabbity-blab. Just put it down as basic as you can and just in your own words, your own thoughts, and your own heart. And then if you want some help putting a track together, just give me a call. I'll help you out. If I ain't the best or this or that and the other, but I know a little bit about it. I got mine. I mean, if that's all you want to do is tell people about your testimony and how you got saved, and that ain't that hard. But that's one way, and we should be doing it, and that would be a good way for you to do it. That if you can't do it systematically and you can't do it this way or that way or whatever, and you live in such a way to where you're not around that many people, whatever, but you can always carry your own personal testimony tracks in your car or in whatever and just drop one here and drop one there and drop one here. Maybe see somebody, give them one, say, this happened to me, and wrote a little story about it, and maybe you'd be interested in reading about it. I ain't never had nobody tell me no. When you tell people something happened to you and you wrote a story about it and you hand it to them, you tell them the truth, and they'll say, really? and they'll take it. People want to hear about people getting saved. We're not trying to trick people into nothing. We're trying to convince them that it's real and it happened to me. Isn't that good? Amen. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining today. And we're talking about witnessing. And today we talked about is witnessing the duty of every Christian. And how often should you witness? And next time we come together, we're going to talk about what is God's requirements for you to be a witness for Christ. What is God's requirements for you to be a witness for Christ? And we'll go through and see what the Bible says about that. Does God have requirements? Well, we'll see. You be sure to join in if you can. It's always an honor and a privilege, and I admire you for studying God's Word. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.